When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
Wakanda. Welcome.
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And I don't know if they're drinking it tonight, but they might be spraying it and pouring it up for Pete Alonso, the polar bear, ice in his veins. Improbable. Takes Devin Williams the other way. That hasn't happened all year. I was just talking about the airbender pitch. Nobody has hit that pitch out. Fans talking about this guy's a bum. There was a call today that we heard in BT and Sal's show. They also played it in Evan's show where someone said they don't even call him by his name. They call him number 20 now. Well, listen, Reggie Jackson had a quote talking about, hey, you can always write the story if you have the bat in your hands. And Pete Alonso just changed the entire story with one swing. Carlos Mendoza believed in him. He said he's just one swing away. And when fans were calling for him to be dropped in the lineup, Steady Mendy said, no, he's going to bat cleanup for us tonight. And he came through with an all-time Mets moment. The greatest Mets moment that he's ever had, and the Mets are going on to face the Phillies in the NLDS. 888-808-1019. Let's take these calls. I've got 50 minutes. Jarvis is up in Harlem. Jarvis, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good, man. Just trying to, you know, bring everything in and put everything out there and talk to you guys and stay in the moment.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, talk about, like, the you know, you was mentioned like the 76ers and the Knicks always the rivalry because, you know, because the Sixers never always choke in the playoffs because they haven't been to the Eastern Conference Finals since, I don't know, 2000. So it's been 24 straight years. I mean, it's the same old Sixers. I mean, now you got the...
There's still a New York-Philly rivalry and it's still fresh because the Knicks went down there and knocked them out. You know? That's what I was talking about.
Yeah. Cause now we got the NLDS between like the NL West, the Dodgers, Padres, and then you got the
divisional. Yeah, literally in the division series, we have divisional rivals.
Yeah, like two teams don't like each other; they hate it.
And they're familiar. Teams that are familiar with each other like that—that's gonna make for fireworks.
Yeah, that's a must see TV. You know, right. So that's all I gotta say.
Thanks for the call, Jarvis. I'm ready to watch it. I'm ready to go. I said on Twitter, I was like, I wasn't trying to watch Sal Frelick and Garrett Mitchell and Jackson Turio versus the Phillies. For a lot of this season, the Phillies were the best team in baseball. For the second half of the season, the Mets were the best team in baseball. Here they go meeting in the division series, and I don't think anyone can say that the Phillies just have the upper hand. We'll see. We'll see it through. Matt is in Albany. Matt, you're next up on the Fan. Go for it.
Morning, Keith. Thank you for being you. Thank you for doing a great show. This longtime Met fan wants to especially thank you for the pledge you made earlier that you weren't going to crack on the Mets anymore this year.
Nah, it doesn't fit. This isn't a time for it.
And I got to tell you, I'm so proud of my guys. And I wasn't expecting anything big. I wasn't expecting a miracle comeback. All I wanted in that ninth inning was to get the tying runs on base and the go-ahead run to the plate so that if they went down, they went down fighting, and they would have put the fear of God into those Milwaukee Brewer fans. And I'm so proud and happy for Pete. And a little bit of confession here, my people, it's the time of year for renewal and self-contemplation. I'm ashamed because I said some nasty things about him when he was having a rough time this year. But I got to tell you, and I've watched him all these years, I'm hoping he's found his mojo. Because not so much this year, but in his previous years as a Met, there have been times where he caught fire and he's carried them on his back for weeks. And that could make such a big difference if he starts getting that hot and starts hitting ropes everywhere. We know the bottom of his lineup can rake when they get the opportunity also. And if they start walking Alonso, well, if he starts raking, the guys in front of him are going to see better pitches, and they may walk him to put more guys on base for the bottom of the order. So I'm just so pleased that he's had this magical moment, and I hope it continues and that he's resurrecting his claim to plant his flag here in town, because I know everybody, a lot of people were very down on him this year. And I just think that the sweetness of the October games can definitely wipe the bad taste away of the rest of the season. So God bless you for the work you do. And God bless my Mets. And I got one more OMG for you. It's this. On Mets go.
Thanks for the call, Matt. 888-808-1019. Yeah, what happened in the past, what you said in the past doesn't matter. There's a thin line between love and hate. When you're a fan of a team that you love and a player like Pete Alonso that has given you great moments that you literally have loved and bought his jersey and celebrated, a guy that you watched when the team wasn't like this and he was a star player, it frustrates you to see him not be what you know he can be. It frustrates you to know that this guy went out and signed Scott Boras. He wants big money. This is a prove it year, and he hasn't proved it. He's underperformed. To the point where you're calling him names, you're saying nasty things about him, but you know what? At the end of the day, you root for the guys in your jerseys no matter what. No better time to wake up a sleeping polar bear. If this guy can get hot in this next series, then you end up in the championship series. And who knows who's coming out of the championship series? I think it would be cool for it to be the Padres. Two highest payrolls with the Padres and Mets. But it also would be cool to see the Dodgers. Yamamoto, all the talk that we had about Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani. Get that LA-New York rivalry fired up again. But got to handle business against the Phillies first. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is on the Fan every day.
Keith,
you all right?
You all right?
Did you quit on him? Did you pull a Frank the Tank? Did you call him every name and then come back?
every 17 and a half innings of this game, dude. And I'll tell you this, you either die a villain or you live long enough to see yourself become a hero.
Yeah.
And we saw Pete Alonso two strikes away from his career as a New York Met pretty much being all but over. The cord was half unplugged. And this son of a you-know-what did the impossible. I'm telling you, you're talking about Cinema Scorsese. I can't even pronounce the name. Scorsese, Steven Spielberg, none of these directors, these all-timers could write the script up. Vince McMahon, WWE couldn't write this up, dude. You're talking about 3 days ago, we were talking about the Lindor homer. I said, I've only been alive for 17 years of this franchise, and I can't think of another homer that tops it. We had to wait three more days.
Yeah.
I mean, this week is just unfathomable. You're talking about, I got one other thing. You're talking about Team of Destiny, by the way. I don't know if you saw this little snippet going around. I saw an MLB on Fox. You notice a trend with the Brewers, this is the 10th time they've ever made the postseason in their franchise history. You notice a little trend with the first nine teams to knock them out of the postseason. All nine of those teams eventually wound up going to the World Series.
Oh, that's great.
And it's not like
the Brewers always choke.
Last year was Arizona. last year was Arizona, another 3-6 seed, a 3-6 wild card matchup. You know, talk about the Rangers and Knicks, I'll bring back the hashtag, why not us? And you want to talk about the whole approach of this postseason format for whatever reason, kind of the whole underdog story. For some reason, the team on the road seems to have the advantage, these teams that have the buys. I mean, Atlanta Dodgers, they look like they were on 125 win pieces each, and I think they won one game combined. I mean, Philly and Arizona made quick work of the both of them. So, I mean, you're looking at matching up against Philly, which I know the rotation has been locking it down. I know the bullpen's been shaky, but, I mean, Philly, they got solid arms, obviously, headlined by former Met Zach Wheeler, and you got the storylines left and right with that. But another former Mets right there, Taijuan Walker. I said, let Taijuan Walker take that mound in Citi Field. It's not the Taijuan Walker at Christmas passing. He had that little taco truck in front of Citi Field anymore. This guy is beyond tacos. So you throw him on that mound. Yeah, a couple of years ago, he was a fan favorite. Now they can't wait to get him out of Philly. But, I mean, listen, man, this is a magical – this is – you couldn't even speak this week into words, and you brought up Frank the Tank, by the way. Talk about a little more universe never unconnecting. You know, he went around throwing first pitches. He had like five or six of them this year, right? You know what two of them were?
The Brewers.
The first one was out.
Diamondbacks.
The Brewers with, yep, Paul Sewald and Sal Frelick, and to be specific. It was Paul Sewald, basically one of the big reasons why their season crumbled with their bullpen issues, and Sal Frelick being what could have been the game-winning run tonight was the victim with the Frank pitch out in Milwaukee. So, hey, man, he's doing the Lord's work, and Cleveland was one of those too. So if you're talking about one of those three L Central teams on your guys' end, he threw a first pitch out in Cleveland too. So just putting that out there. But, all kidding aside, dude, this is what sports is all about, dude. You know, you want to you are like a prophet with some of your lines, dude. You got to stay down till you come up to. This is for all the BS we deal with, dude. We're finally coming up, and you want to talk about people with the name calling and stuff like that. When you got guys like Lindor, the first 3 years for however long, you know, before he finally hit the map here and you know, had a definitive MVP caliber season this year, it just makes the come up all the more sweeter. You know what? If you're a guy like Starling Marte that kind of, you know, what, beats around the bush and he'll get some crap, but he's not one of the punching bags, the go-to punching bags, you know, his highlight moments aren't as sweet. Pete Alonso, if he wasn't, I'm just going to say it, as big of a bum as he was all year, this three-run bomb wouldn't be as special as it is. And I could safely say that Pete Alonso, this doesn't take away from how bad his season was entirely, but this one swing put himself in the history books. He was already there, but this one swing in particular may be the most iconic swing in Mets history, dude. And let's just keep the train moving, man. It's unbelievable. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I always say I don't have shtick, but I definitely have some things, some one-liners that I've come up with, and I say them over and over again. Things like the universe never unconnects. It's already predestined and written. I knew. I tweeted it out. I tweeted a lot of troll tweets out and a lot of, you know, fun tweets. Twitter is Twitter. You know, I own my Twitter account, so I like to troll and joke and get a rise out of people, but I'm not trolling on the radio. I don't own the radio station. This night, Mets fans own this radio station. We're not talking about Carl Anthony Towns. We're not talking about the Falcons winning overtime. And you know, I say what Ross just said. Stay down till you come up. I talk about the teams that I root for. I get a lot of flack for it. Oh, this guy's a front runner bandwagon. I'm like, nah, it's not that fun. We're not really in the front. But I'm loyal to myself and the teams that I chose as a child. Because I know as soon as you switch up on them and you choose another team, it comes back around and you're going to be like, wait, I want to come back. I said, no, you can't do that. Like, there's definitely some people in this city that might have quit on the Mets. Now they're trying to find that old Mets hat in the back of the closet. Like, no. You can't jump ship and come back. And stuff that I say, like, 'tis the postseason. It's the most wonderful time. Are you not entertained? Are you not having a good time? Are you not enjoying these games, these ridiculous games that you're getting to watch, that you're getting to see? The make it happen Mets. Now, I didn't know they were going to make it happen like this. Like, they impose their will. They're never done. Never say die. Nine lives, resilient. They literally make it happen. When you think it can't happen, when Vegas odds have them at plus 950 to come back, they come back and win. It's ridiculous to see. Jason is in Queens. Jason, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good, man. Enjoying winning New York sports.
Yeah, I'm so happy that I don't have to work tomorrow because I'm literally sitting in my car in front of my house because if I go in my house, I'm going to wake everybody up. And I'm listening to the calls, and a lot of them has been saying a lot of things that I've been thinking. But one thing that somebody mentioned before about, like, we need Pete to play well to win a championship, or you hear it all the time, we need Lindor to play well to win, or we need this guy to play well. I don't believe that at all. Like, this team, when somebody plays bad, when somebody's down, when somebody's hurt, the next guy just steps up. It's unbelievable how this team is. And they're not very good, Keith. This team is scary good right now. Like, they are dangerous right now. And I'm not going to say they're going to win a championship because with baseball, is just like whoever's hot at the right moments, they seem to find a way to get these victories. But this team is scary right now. And those teams that have been sitting out with a bye all week, just, practicing and hitting batting practice, they're about to run into some really hot teams right now that are all dangerous. I mean, would you be surprised if the Mets are playing the Tigers in a championship? Like,
no.
It's not going to be a surprise. These teams are hot.
I talked about it the other day. And, like, the Tigers, even the Padres, watching how they turned up. The Mets,
right?
The Phillies right now, you think the Phillies wanted the Brewers. The Phillies don't want the familiarity and the Mets fans that can drive to their ballpark and the mojo that the Mets have. Like, the word you use, scary, the Mets are the scariest team next to the Tigers, but we're not in Detroit. I said that the other night. I said if I was in Detroit, I guess I'd be talking about the Tigers. I'm in New York, I'm talking about the Mets. They're the scariest team right now. Nobody wants to play them. You got guys like Jesse Winker spiking his bat. You got guys like Francisco Lindor willing his team to victory. He's coming up. He's the only one playing. He's getting hits. He's turning double plays. He's working walks, getting on base. He's got a bad back. And like you said, they pick each other up. It doesn't matter if it's Starling Marte, if it's Jesse Winker, if it's Mark Vientos, if it's a pinch hit from J.D. Martinez, if it's finally Pete Alonso, the polar bear, they're a team. I mean, the pitching performances, it took me too long to say Jose Quintana. Jose Quintana went out there and shoved.
Yep. Keeping one more thing. Right now, they're pitching well. They've been defending well all year. They might be the best offensive team in the league. I'm not sure, but. And they have timely hitting. What is that a recipe for? Like, those are the three things you need to be successful.
Talking about timely hitting. Like, they didn't hit a home run all season or all series until that one.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. And you know what? For a guy that wears his emotions on his sleeve, you got to feel good for Pete. I know the last caller said he had a terrible season. He didn't have a terrible season. He just didn't have a polar bear season.
He didn't have the I'm trying to make $300 million season. Yeah.
Nah, definitely not. Definitely not. And, that's also why I'm not a big believer in, breaking the bank to get a big free agent. Because the Mets are proving it right now. You don't need that type of player. You just need a whole team effort of guys stepping up and doing their role.
Chemistry, man. It's just so obvious. You saw those guys celebrating. Thanks for the call, Jason. That's why I tweeted out, happy tears for Mets fans Monday and Thursday. You ride with this team and you get to see those guys celebrate and embrace each other and pop champagne and pour it on you. You get, me as a Yankee fan, I love that. I love that. That's why when I hear people talk about, they celebrate too much. To hell with that. That's what this is all about. That's what they play for. So to see how these guys were, like Lindor, when Lindor did the interview and then everybody's together for the picture, and then he comes in and he's like galloping through. He picks up Steve Cohen. You got to love it, man. You got to love it, man. That's what all of this is about. 888-808-1019. You play to win the game, and then once you win the game, you can celebrate. Steven is in Wayne, New Jersey. Steven, you're on the Fan.
Hi, Keith. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
So I was going to Citi Field tonight for the watch party, but I only saw there was two sections available. So the 7 line was having a watch party in a bar in the city, Playwright on 35th and 5th. I've never heard a place with that many people go silent after back-to-back home runs, and then I have never heard a place that loud and shake. I mean, the room was shaking. It was vibrating. It was the craziest experience I've ever had in my life. The seven line posted is everywhere on Instagram. If you get a chance, please watch it.
Yeah, but, yeah. I actually will look that up. But that's something about these Mets, too. They make you feel every range of emotion. They make you feel the low of low. They drop you down just to bring you right back up.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, Keith. And I know, like, from you're an out, like, I know you're not a Mets fan from the outside looking in. I want you to look at it because I know that just listening to you constantly, and I'm a huge fan of you. You appreciate like sports moments, but I got a question for you as a fan looking in. I've heard on the radio constantly, and I've heard people saying that emotions cannot define the Pete Alonso contract. But I don't think anybody thought this would happen. Do you think that tonight will affect Pete Alonso and his contract, the decision that the Mets make for Pete Alonso next year?
There's more to do. I'll say that first. You got a whole series coming up. What if this guy is the MVP of this next series? What if this woke him up now where he just plays free? Like, what if this woke him up now where he gets his swing back? Like, so what I'll also say, you know, at the end of, I am looking up, I just looked up the Seven Lines Instagram. Shout out to Darren. Whenever I see Darren, it's all love, and he's got the phone, and like, these are memories. These are core fan memories. This is a time that Mets fans don't always get, and that's what I love about where we are now with these 4K phones. Like, this will last forever. Steven, thanks for the call. I'm just keeping the line moving. I'm going to get my thoughts in, and we're going to take the next call. I was talking to Paul Rosenberg right after the game, and he says, holy F, still can't extend Pete, though. But Jesus Christ, what a game. He said, please, the same, because, like, I guess we all just, like, you know, we think about, like, narratives and takes and whatever, like, oh, does this mean now you got to bring Pete back? And I said, I mean, you would say that. I said, he just went hero, bro. I said, what if this propels him? What if he hits you into the championship series, in the World Series? You might have to consider it. What I'll say is this. Pete doesn't want to go anywhere else. You have the richest owner in the sport. And with the regular season that Pete just had, that regular season is not going to be enough for him to be shopped around Major League Baseball and people say, yeah, we want Pete. But I think what he's specifically doing for this franchise, this fan base, this owner. I just was talking to someone online. I'm like, you know, because I talk about these kids a lot. I'm online and I interact with a lot of kids. And, you know, I remember one night that I was at Yankee Stadium and I met this kid and he's a Mets fan and he's young and his dad's like, he listens to you every night. And I just was like, even though I troll the Mets, he's like, you know, he doesn't mind. He thinks you're great. And I'm like, I talked to him and he's just like, nah, I love your show. And I'm like, you know, like, I don't mean it that way. Like, it's entertainment. He's like, yeah, he's like, you're good at it. You know, and I don't mind. I'm a Mets fan. It is what it is. You're a Yankee fan. And I'm like, I got you, though. Like, for this run, I'm like, this Mets team has a special team. Like, I got you. We'll have some good shows. It won't be all, you know, trolling and, like, big brother, little brother and kind of, you know, roasting the Mets fans. But I could just see in his eyes as he has a Mets jersey on, a Mets hat, his sneakers match his Mets stuff. Like, he believes in the team. He wants this team to win. And these young kids, like, this is what happens, right? Like, why am I a stupid-ass Dallas Cowboys fan? Because as a kid watching NFL football, they were on TV. There was no streaming. And they were winning Super Bowls when I first started to watch. Why am I a diehard, brainwashed Yankees fan that thinks that they belong in the World Series every year? What do you think I watched in the 90s? So now in the 2020s, these young Mets fans in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and beyond are watching this Miracle Mets run, this OMG run, this Grimace run. These kids have Grimace toys. These kids are listening to Candelita on their phones. They're wearing the Mets uniforms, and they're rooting for Lindor and Alonso, and it's making them lock in as fans. And so Steve Cohen and David Stearns struck gold this year with this team because this is going to go on for years, and those kids are going to grow up and be old enough to spend money in the casino and the hotels down the line. 888-808-1019. You don't, you like, You don't have to be a Mets fan to understand that. You don't have to be a hater to just understand that. All of this stuff works together. And all of us having these phones and social media and being able to record live moments, they last forever. All this stuff is going to be saved on apps and iCloud. It's great. Kevin is in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Next up on the Fan, go for it, Kevin.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, so the guy, Anthony, that was talking about number 20 with Pete Alonso, he's a good friend of mine, so I thought it was funny that he was on with Sal and Tierney earlier on today. But anyway, my thing is, so Pete did what I thought Pete was going to do, and I've been saying it all along. I'm like, Pete's due, and he did. He was due, and he came through, right? Saying that, like, dude, we're not going to find somebody better than Pete. We got to sign the guy. He had a great game today, and I don't think
I was saying the same thing during the season. These guys don't grow on trees, and even though he had a down year, once he gets paid and gets the money and knows he's locked in here, what if he turns back into a 45 home run? Like, what if he bounces back and has his best year this next year?
But yeah, exactly. That's Pete. Pete is 4,100, right? I think this year I think the contract got to his head where, like, you know, he was trying to play for the contract and didn't have the best season. But dude, the guy, he does what he does, right? He's a 4,100 guy. I don't think we're going to find somebody as good as him. You know, you could talk about putting Vientos at first and try to do something like that, but Pete Alonso is Pete Alonso. You're not going to find a better first baseman. Dude, his defense over
the years.
It's been great. In the postseason, he's been great.
As of just this week, this guy is on it. He's not. Yeah, he's on it. That's what I said, man. Something happened when he didn't catch that pop-up. There was some type of energy transfer, like, oh, you're laughing at me? You guys interfere with me? Well, you know, I'm going to pay you back when I get in the batter's box.
Yeah, so, like, we got to sign the guy. I think Steve Cohen, just off of today, is going to be like, yeah, this is our guy, you know?
Yeah, and you have the richest owner in the sport. It's nothing for him to say, sure, Scott Boras, go out there and test the market, come back and tell us what the market price is. We'll beat it by a million.
Yeah, no, but Pete, I'm all in. Pete's my dude. I'm glad he came through tonight. And let's go, Mets, man. Let's go. Let's keep it going, and let's go. LFGM, baby. Let's go.
LGYM. Let's go, Yankee Mets. These are my Mets, the Make It Happen Mets. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I've got 24 minutes left. We got to take a break. C-Max coming up next. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I will get to you. Don't go anywhere. We're listening to the Fan, right? BRB.
Manning takes the knee, and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knocked off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Bolas, un strike.
Ahora, si viene 3-1 por ahí, Pile va a tirar.
Ya se prepara, viene el lanzamiento, batazo grande, elevado por la parte derecha, la bola va atrás, llega atrás, lleva color, lleva sabor. Home run, hasta la vista, baby. 3-2 se ha puesto el partido. Los Mets están arriba. Rebelión de última hora. The New York Mets.
Excelente. Los Mets baseball. Los Mets radio. Keith McPherson on the Fan. New York sports talk radio. It's the most wonderful time, man. I just was looking at the 7 line. I've never even looked at the 7 lines Instagram. I always see them on Twitter. And we've had our backs and forths and things and whatnot. Trolling the 7 line versus the Bleacher Creatures. But it made me think. I was shouting out John over at the Playwrights Pub on Monday when they had the watch party. They had another watch party tonight, and, you know, you just get to see all these fans together celebrating. It's good to watch this with people. Yankee fans, we will have our turn. So as it turns out, that first home game for the Mets in the NLDS, I think, is going to be on Wednesday, or maybe I got to check that. Tuesday and Wednesday. Fleek said it's Tuesday and Wednesday. Well, Wednesday, October 9th, the Yankees will go to Kansas City, and we have a watch party set up at American Whiskey. All of the creatures will be there. The Terror Squad, the offset that broke off from the Bleacher Creatures will be there. Dellen Betances, that's my guy. Hit Dellen like, bro, you got to pull up for Corona, WFAN, New York Yankees fans watching the Yankees in the ALDS against the Kansas City Royals when they go away. So if you don't want to be in your apartment alone, if you don't want to be by yourself, maybe in a basement or watching on your phone, somewhere, whatever, we will be together at American Whiskey. It'll be, trust me, like the creatures run deep. There'll be a bunch of us, Terror Squad as well, Yankee fans. Everybody's welcome to come. We're going to pack the place, and we're going to watch the game together. Hopefully the Yankees are already up 2-0. Maybe they go up 3-0. And, yeah, I'm planning on still coming to host the show after that. So, man, this next week is going to be lit. That's the first thing I said. I'm like, WFAN is going to be crazy. Let me take these calls before I get out of here. C-Mac is coming up next. Gene in Rego Beach on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good. It's good to be on when the teams are good and we have good things to talk about and we're not trying to fire people or DFA people and hating on everything.
You know what? It's a great night to be a Mets fan. And I've been a Mets fan since 1962. So I go back a ways. And the guy who was calling about watching the game in a bar and the bar was shaking reminded me that I was at Shea for Robin Ventura's Grand Slam single, right? The home run he hit in 99 against the Braves in the playoffs where they mobbed him after first base and he couldn't touch them all. So they called it the Grand Slam single, another great Met home run. But I call because I was wondering, watching a game, whether Williams was tipping pitches. You know, particularly his changeup.
Yeah, I just saw John Boy. Somebody just sent me the John Boy video, and he's like, John Boy is on everything. John Boy has a whole breakdown, a 7-minute breakdown of Devin Williams tipping his pitches. Go on.
Yeah, you know, I really thought that, you know, they've seen him, I think it's 4 times in the last 6 games they've played the Brewers, and they have a lot of savvy guys on that team. You know, J.D. Martinez. Their hitting coach, Eric Chavez, you know, these are guys who are going to pick up anything. It just seemed to me that, you know, Nimmo's single was on a changeup, and obviously Alonso's home run was on his changeup. It just seemed like, you know, they saw it coming, which is all, as you know, is all fair and love in sports. You know, that was the impression
the
that game. I had. So
yeah, that's
having
an edge.
John Boy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for the call, Gene. Yeah. I used to work with Jimmy. Like, Jimmy is a wizard with this. Like, I'm watching this stuff. You know, I don't rep for the John Boy Media Company or those guys anymore. And I thank God that WFAN came and gave me this opportunity so I could leave there. But one thing I know about Jimmy is he's a baseball nerd and an absolute video editing wizard. So as I'm watching this stuff, I know, like, that, like, he doesn't like to even go to games. He likes to watch the game on TV, and he's got, like, 5 different camera shots, and they're recording the whole time. And now that I'm watching, like, the level of stuff, like, I worked at John Boy Media 2019, 2020, and then left there in 2021 when I came here. The level of video editing and camera work that they have for this is incredible. So check that out. It's on his Twitter page, but I'm sure they put it on the YouTube channel. And that's just stuff that you can't see in real time. Obviously, it's real baseball nerd stuff, real baseball fan stuff. But, yeah. They were on it, man. You tip your cap to the Mets, never say die. They obviously were in that fight till the very end, and they got the best of Devin Williams, who is one of the best closers in the game. Lewis is in Yonkers. Lewis, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up? How's it going, brother?
It's going,
right? I was super scared of. That was the only pitcher I was really scared of this entire series, Devin Williams going in, because he had such a great year. And the Mets, obviously, he shut them down last night. Man, I couldn't believe Bielanza got that off, man.
I called it more so of just like, this is the movie. Of course this is going to happen. But like Devin Williams, right. Before that, I literally tweeted, "Mama, there goes that man," because he's a bad man. Devin Williams is like that. But I could, when he walked Lindor, there was just something about how he was throwing the ball. I'm like, oh, he doesn't have his command, and he's gonna have to throw the ball in the zone. Nimmo singled off of him, and I'm like, okay, he's going to have to throw strikes to Alonzo, and Alonzo's been so desperate, like, he's going to put back the ball, and next thing you know, that ball carried like it did. It was a magic moment.
Devin Williams had only given up one home run this year.
Yeah, this airbender pitch is ridiculous that he throws.
And no opposite field home runs against off of his entire career, just
right.
The first one.
Right, that's what, like, bro, what else do we have to find and put together for people to realize how magical this is, how rare this is, how special this is for the Mets. Like, for one team, like, if you stop their season DVD today, there's so many ridiculous things that had to happen and had to go right for them to be here.
Yeah. And Pete Alonso rejected a 7-year, $158 million contract.
Right.
How much more money are they going to give him just off this home run, you think?
Not too much more. That's the thing, too. That's I'm like, yeah, he rejected that. Let's see. He still got more to do. But I just, the whole season, I'm like, this plays into the hands of the Mets. You have the richest owner in the sport. You have the smartest guy that was out there to be available to be the president of baseball operations. He's going to not want to put so much money into Pete. But I don't think the market is going to be out there. Even if Pete does, like, Pete wants to be a Met. And I think it's going to be a reasonable price. And I think it's going to be a short-term deal. I don't think he's getting 7 years.
Really? So you think even after this, they'll still bring him down to like a 5-year deal?
I think it's like, especially in negotiations, do you want to uproot where you've been living and go somewhere else? So he was just talking about how he thinks this is sustainable, how this group, he's going to want to stay with this group. He's going to want to stay with this franchise. And now that he's had that moment, that's forever. Let's see if he builds on it with this NLDS against the Phillies, but I just think it's played into the Mets' hands where nobody is going to be a better suitor for Pete Alonso than the Mets, and they have the richest owner in the sport. They can match any offer. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jonathan in Massachusetts. What's up, John? You're on the Fan.
Hi, Keith. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Good. Yeah, it seemed the perfect time to call back. I'm not sure if you remember, but I spoke to you some months ago, and also I called Sal about the same concept, which is very appropriate now, namely the genuine impact the fans, including their positive or their negative energy, have on the outcome of these games. It's always been my obsession, you know, because I grew up in Massachusetts. And when I was growing up, the Red Sox fans, even though they don't resemble it anymore, sounded like the Mets fans used to sound, where they would always blame whomever, the owners, the players. They were always looking for someone to blame, and as a result, they created a tremendous amount of bad vibes, which would then impact the players. And then, of course, you remember Javier Baez would say, hey, look, this is how you're affecting us, but if the energy goes in a positive direction, it's incredible what can happen. And this team, it was remarkable to hear Steve Cohen talk about it. They're just incredibly positive, which is exactly the same word Mendoza had right before they doused themselves in champagne. And it's exactly that. And, of course, the fans, we as fans can only control exactly one thing, and that's our positive or lack of positive energy. We have no control over stats, contracts, but we can generally support or not. Pull for our team or not. And I think what we're noticing now is it's a feedback loop. A lot of it is the fans helped Pete. The fans genuinely believed in Pete, and Pete got a boost, like Tom Brady used to get a boost. I'm convinced it's true. I'm sure you agree.
I do agree. Thanks for calling in again, Jonathan. I'll take it from there. Banging the drum of positivity. I give Tommy a ton of credit, man, because when he started doing some of that around Memorial Day weekend when we were laughing at the Mets blowing those games to the Giants, I'm like, this dude's crazy. And I know he's got to, you know, make a run here over the summer and have his shtick and, you know, make a name, and he's doing weekend shows. He's got the Lugau or whatever, but I'm like, attaching yourself to the Mets? Bold strategy, Cotton. Well, these Mets have that same type of thing. Like, Mendoza talks about getting knocked down. They get knocked down, they get back up. They're never out of it. They're positive. There was a quote that I read about J.D. Martinez talking about the meeting they had. It's like, oh, well, we suck. They say we suck. Well, then we suck. Let's suck together. Like, they just, like, they internalize things and they turn it into results. It's absolutely insane. I don't know. I can't really put it into words outside of, like, they're winning right now. They're finding ways to win right now. And it is powerful. There is a, you know, positive energy around the team where the never say die, make it happen Mets, miracle Mets, whatever you want to call them, they've come back from just, like, I don't know, things that in the past would absolutely kill other Mets teams. And they're shaking off the LOL Mets. And I think I saw Mets Muse call them the anti-Mets because for so long, Mets fans were waiting for the other shoe to drop. I remember when I first came in here talking to Paul Rosenberg, I'm like, why are you guys all fearing that the sky is going to fall? It's always impending doom. I'm like, it's the opposite of the Yankee fan. I get mad at some Yankee fans because there are too many of them that are just always optimistic, glasses always not half full, full. They don't even see some of the things that the organization does. Well, positivity, it helps, it works, and now you're going to face the Phillies, who famously all stood up and gave a round of applause for a struggling Trey Turner when he arrived. And, you know, people think that's going to work here in New York. It kind of has for the Mets. I think they did do that this year in Citi Field. And look what you're getting out of this team. Thomas is in center reach back on the Fan. How you feeling, Thomas?
Oh, that was one. Quick, real story, real quick. So basically, I was crapping on Pete. I said, I don't think he's going to. I was, after he struck out on that last at bat, I was like, oh, this game's done. Good night. And I basically went to my room. Then they came. I came in after I was watching the play-by-play and saw later I was on first and third. And my parent, and my dad told me, leave. You every time, cause I came out and they had, I like when I stood there and they struck out after they did, they were doing terrible when I was in there. So he was like telling me to get out. And I already knew he had hit the homer. So it was really funny to get his reaction. And we were all like jumping up and down. But man, I had faith he could do it, but I had zero confidence that he was going to be able to do it. And just the fact that he was able to hit that home run, he was able to give this, keep the season going, man. It's just crazy. Like a famous Latin pop singer would say, oh my God, it's just crazy that this run continues. I can't even begin to describe like the emotions. I have the New York Post cutout of when Jorge Lopez said, worst team in the whole, you know what, MLB. I have that cut out in my room from the back.
Go get these papers. Go get these papers now that they're going to print
this up. And I'm going to start cutting everything. That's what I do. I've been, regardless, Mets, I cut out all back pages for sports, and I just like plan on keeping that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if you follow me online. I got the printouts from Juan Soto being signed, Derek Jeter's final hit, some of the other, like Tanaka when it was like, yeah, it's... Man. It's an old school thing, but if you can go to a gas station and find a newspaper, go get those. Thanks for the call, Thomas. 888-808-1019. You deserve it. If you put your blood, sweat, and tears, hard-earned money, your stress, if you let this team impact your personality and your way of life and your relationships, you deserve to feel like this. Christine is in Huntington, New York. Christine, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Thank you so much for having me. I love your show. Thank you for getting us through the late night segment. But I just want to say, as a Yankee fan, a lifelong Yankee fan, I think that the Mets have made New York proud. I think that they've made us all proud, especially, you know, tuning into a game at the top of the ninth, and then they pull something off. Pete Alonso pulls something off like that. It shows you the beauty of sports, the beauty of baseball, and what New York's capable of. So from one Yankee fan to another Mets fan, we're really proud, and I can't wait to support them and you know, their next round.
That's the vibe. Thanks for the call, Christine. Like, that's the vibe. That's the energy. Don't get me wrong. I run with the creatures. The creature culture is Mets fans suck. We hate the Mets. And I get it. You know, I have friends that are texting me during the game, ha-ha, laughing at the Mets early, prematurely, and I'm like, yo, chill. But are you rooting for Wisconsin? Were you rooting for Georgia over New York? Like, I don't really, you know, I don't really get down with that. I don't really understand that one. I'm a Yankee fan, but, like, I'm not rooting for the Brewers. I'm not rooting for the Braves. And I'm not necessarily rooting for the Mets either. I'm watching the game. I'm rooting for a good game. I'm rooting for theater and theatrics. I'm rooting for WFAN to have better things to talk about than, oh, the Mets got eliminated and now we got to, you know, make sure that we sign Juan Soto. No, at least we table that for a little while. Bob is in Los Angeles on the Fan in New York. Hello, Bob.
Keith, how you doing?
Good.
Through the prism of the Yankee fan, which is what it is, how I see it, I don't root against the Mets. I never, you know, felt threatened by them. I probably never rooted against them.
That's a great way to put it. I don't mean to cut you off, but I said that to someone today. I'm like, I'm not hating on you guys. I'm trolling you. I'm laughing a little bit during the game, but you can't hate down. We're the number one seed with a bye. You're the sixth seed.
But the one thing I will say, and this is, you know, as a Yankee fan, that was a moment. I mean, a big moment. Lindor home run, big moment. And as a Yankee fan, I'm just thinking, even with the 2008, 2009, I forget we won it. Here's my point. We didn't have any moments that I remember immediately, big moments. And for me, it's the biggest indictment against these 20 years of a Yankee. Forget, you know, the minutiae of 100 decisions. It's that we've become boring. In the 70s, we were losing with Billy Martin. In the 90s, like, we've just become kind of a corporate, boring, soulless, uninteresting, uninspiring watch.
Buttoned up. And,
buttoned up, man. We're like the buttoned up frat or whatever we are. It's like,
yep.
What the heck? We were always the whatever, entertaining, interesting, compelling, the drama, the moments. And
well,
I just
here
feel
comes.
Like
here
I've been
comes.
Starving for a moment.
Here it comes. You've got Juan Soto and his shuffle. You've got Jazz Chisholm and his style and his swag. You've got Aaron Judge who goes out there and obviously is, you know, class personified. But here it comes. The Yankees have to do it, right? They have to get it done. And they need to have fun doing it. And we'll be there to back them up. Thanks for the call, Bob. I was about to say, I know that back music's coming as 154. I'm talking to Kevin Gold on Twitter. He wants a Mets fans for Yankees. It's supposed to be Yanks fans for Metsies. And C-Max coming up. You know him from the old Carton and Roberts show. Craig Carton, where that came from. And you know what? C-Max is great at going back to his notes from the game and articulating the moments from the game. So you'll get to relive some of the game and some of the things that happened that you might have forgot about now as we're living in just Pete Alonso in the end of the game. And then he'll take your calls and your reactions and take you through the overnight. 5 hour KM to AM 7 PM. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.